Let's refer to figure 21, and let's go to area 4 near the bottom of the chart. Notice there's a area that's outlined by solid blue line with blue shading on the inside. It says R5302B. What hazards to aircraft may exist in restricted areas such as 5302B? Remember from the discussion, restricted area is an area where there's unusual, often invisible hazards such as aerial gunnery or guided missiles. You definitely want to stay away from restricted areas. If you want to fly through a restricted area for some reason, you need to get permission. But remember that it's unusual, often invisible hazard in that area. You didn't really need to look at the sectional chart excerpt to know that, but the question does direct you to the figure 21, so we're looking at it here. In the vicinity of Area 4, there's a little airport there, Northeastern Regional. It has no control tower. It has a UNICOM frequency, because it says 123.0. Going up to the northeast of that is a control tower field, Elizabeth City. Looks like it's a Coast Guard air station, CGAS, ASOS, ASOS, Automated Surface Observation System, on frequency 118.52. There's another question on figure 21. Look at area 3. What's the recommended communications procedure for landing at Currituck County Airport? Well, you see it's an uncontrolled field. There's no control tower there. And it has a frequency 122.9, and that's multicom frequency, which means there's no radio based on the ground. It's an air-to-air frequency that you use when you arrive and depart. And so what you would do is transmit your intentions on 122.9 when you're 10 miles out and give position reports in the traffic pattern. That's what the test is looking for. In reality, you'd also transmit your taxi intention and your departure intention if you're on the ground leaving the airport. Notice magenta tint surrounding Currituck County Airport. Looks kind of like a keyhole pattern. It connects to a magenta tint surrounding Elizabeth County Airport as well. That magenta tint is telling you that Class E airspace begins at 700 feet above the ground when you're within that tinted area. Outside of that tinted area, Class E airspace begins at 1,200 feet. There's another question on the test regarding figure 21. The question asks you to determine the magnetic course from First Flight Airport, which is Area 5, the far lower right-hand corner, to Hampton Roads Airport, Area 2. And Hampton Roads Airport is in the upper part of the diagram over to the left. It's west of Norfolk. Let's talk about how you would do that. The question is pretty easy. It's asking you to determine your magnetic course. And the magnetic course, as you know, is your true course plus or minus magnetic variation. Now, we know that east is least and west is best. So you measure your true course, and then you subtract easterly variation, or you'd add westerly variation. On this chart, there's an isogonic line that runs diagonally across the chart from the top of the chart near the left edge across just to the right of Elizabeth City VOR, and it goes down, it exits the chart at the bottom right through the sign that says caution unmarked balloon on cable to 3000 MSL. It's 10 degrees westerly variation. So once we measure the true course, we would add 10 degrees westerly variation and we would come up with a magnetic course. So draw a straight line between the two airports with your plotter, and then take the straight edge of the plotter and hold it parallel to the course and move the plotter along the course in order to place the small hole in the center as near to the halfway point of the course as possible. The true course is the angle measured between the north meridian and the course line. If you position the plotter correctly and you read the true course, you'll see that it's about 321 degrees. And then you add 10 degrees westerly variation and you get a magnetic course of 331 degrees. And that's the answer. Say you take off out of Hampton Roads Airport, you go to the north, you do some sightseeing, and then you're going to fly back to First Flight Airport, and you're going to fly right over Hampton Roads Airport and right over Chesapeake Municipal Airport. And you want to figure out what time you're going to arrive at First Flight. So you're en route, you're at cruise, over Hampton Roads Airport, you look at the time and you see it's 14:56. So you write down 14:56. And then over Chesapeake Municipal, it's 15:01. So you write down 15:01. It's 5 minutes. And you ask yourself, what time should your flight arrive at First Flight? When you plotted this out, you may have picked Chesapeake as a waypoint on your way up there. So you may or may not know that it's 10 miles from Hampton Roads Airport, and you've got another 50 miles to go after that. You've covered 10 miles in 5 minutes. That's 2 miles a minute. And you've got 50 miles to go, so it should take you another 25 minutes. So if you add 25 minutes to 15:01, you get 15:26. That's the time your flight should arrive at First Flight. What is the approximate latitude of Currituck County Airport? And yeah, you probably would just look it up in the airport facilities directory if you had it, but let me show you how to find it with a chart. If you use your up and down arrow to scroll around the chart, you'll see that Currituck County Airport is located next to a meridian of longitude. See that? Now, those meridians of longitude are very well marked. Each tick mark on a meridian of longitude is 1 nautical mile. So what we're going to do is look for a reference point. Where are we in terms of latitude? Well, if we scroll down, we don't see that there's a line of latitude below us that we can pick up. Oh, there it is. Yeah, 36 degrees. 36 degrees is off the chart on the bottom. The horizontal line going from left to right above Currituck County Airport is 36 degrees, 30 minutes. And so there should be another one above that that says 37 degrees. And sure enough, there it is, north of Virginia Beach, that's 37 degrees. So the line above Currituck County Airport is 36 degrees, 30 minutes. Now, along the line of longitude, you'll see a large tick mark that's located right above where it says caution unmarked balloon on cable to 3000 MSL. It's also on the compass rose of the Elizabeth City VOR DME. Each of those hash marks is 10 minutes. So, of course, there's 60 minutes per degree. Each degree is 60 nautical miles. And each large hash mark is 10 minutes. So 36 degrees is right at the bottom of the chart. And then you got a hash mark at the VOR DME compass rose. And that's 36 degrees, 10 minutes. There's another one above that, which is just to the right of the big number 3. That's 36 degrees, 20 minutes. And of course, 36 degrees, 30 minutes is that long horizontal line running across the chart. So it's about 36 degrees, 10, 20, 1, 2, 3, 36 degrees, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, about 24 minutes, 36 degrees, 24 minutes north. If it were 36 degrees, 25 minutes north, it would be exactly halfway between that hash mark that's just to the right of the big number 3 and the 36-30 line of latitude, which is above it. So the answer is 36 degrees, 24 minutes north latitude. Let's refer again to figure 21, area 1, and I've got a question. What minimum radio equipment is required to land and take off at Norfolk International Airport? Look at the top there, area 1, Norfolk. It's a little blue airport symbol in the center of those circles. Outermost circle looks like it's the compass rose of the Norfolk VORTAC. Just inside of that is a magenta circle, and the magenta circle symbolizes that the airspace surrounding Norfolk Airport is Class Charlie airspace. In fact, there's two airports there. There's NS Norfolk, and there's Norfolk International. Looks like the airport above Norfolk is NS Naval Station Norfolk, November Golf Uniform. And then there's Norfolk, Oscar Romeo Foxtrot. The airspace surrounding it is a Class Charlie airspace. We need to contact Norfolk Approach Control within 20 nautical miles. So we need a two-way radio. And there's another thing we need. We need a Mode C transponder. We do not need an Omni receiver. We don't need an Omni receiver with DME. All we need is a two-way radio and a Mode C transponder. Why? Because that's Class Charlie airspace. We talked about Class Charlie airspace. Here it is graphically depicted now in Figure 21. The upper limit of that airspace is 4,000 feet. There are a couple of lower limits. They're printed on the chart. You see where it says up at Newport News that Norfolk November Golf Uniform, it's the naval station, top is 4,000, the base over the naval station is 2,000, and the top is 4,000, the base is at the surface over Norfolk International. Then there's an outer area where the big number one is, dark number one. The value for that, I don't see it there. Underneath Norfolk, there's an area that has a top of 4,000 and a base of 1,200. That's a shelf area. That outer circle is now called a shelf area, and it has a base of 1,200 feet, and it goes up to 4,000 feet. Those are the dimensions and limits of this particular Class Charlie airspace. Also, surrounding this Class Charlie airspace is a magenta tint, just like we had at Currituck County Airport. And that magenta tint means that, approximately around the same dimension, it's a little bit wider over the vicinity of Oceana Naval Air Station in Virginia Beach. But that's telling you that the floor of Class Echo airspace is 700 feet within that area. There's also a Class Echo surface area and a Class Delta area over Virginia Beach. But the outermost band is a magenta band when you have Class E airspace, Class Echo airspace, beginning at 700 feet. On the other side of that, of course, Class E airspace begins at 1,200 feet. I also want you to notice there's a white border that surrounds Norfolk. It comes down from the top of the chart on the left and the right side of Norfolk, and then it makes a nice neat bend and comes around the bottom, and it has the word inset in it. Part of this airspace is reprinted on another part of the chart in greater detail. What you're looking at is a sectional aeronautical chart. The scale is 1 to half a million, and the inset has a scale of 1 to 250,000. So those details are a lot more visible if you looked at the inset. The VFR checkpoints will pop out at you. You can see frequencies a little better. When there's so much information in a small area like that, an inset is published. We're not going to look at it because we don't have access to it, but that's what that white area is.